Well, even though we've had the Christmas period and preaching on various Christmas subjects, it's all tied in with the series we were doing for most of last year on what is an evangelical. So an evangelical is someone who believes in the virgin birth, that Jesus is the promised child who would be born of a virgin, and that the promised child would be God come in the flesh. Last week we were considering the thought of looking back, remembering what has gone. And I mentioned then, what about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Surely Paul there contradicts everything that I've said, where he says in the second part of the verse, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. So why was I talking about looking back? Well, of course, we look back to the cross. We look back to the teachings of the scriptures throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, which is all in the past. And that is all looking back. And it is good for us to look back and to remind ourselves of what we were before we were converted, how God brought us to Christ, how God saved us, that we might rejoice in what God has done, and then consider how much we have grown in grace since last year. How much have we improved in terms of godliness, in terms of holiness, in terms of righteousness? And sometimes this can be depressing when we think, well, I haven't made a lot of progress. But the question is, have you made any progress? And I refer to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, where he talks not about comparing ourselves to others, but to compare ourselves to ourselves. Galatians 6:4, but let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbour, for each will have to bear his own load. So we might look at someone who has been a Christian for many, many decades and think, well, I'm nowhere near their level of godliness and holiness. I'm an unmitigated disaster. And we can fall into depression by comparing ourselves to other people. Also, we can become self-righteous by thinking to ourselves, oh, well, there's this person who was only converted last week, and look at them, and they are so much worse than I am, and so therefore, and the chest puffs out, aren't I wonderful? Yes, but how do you compare with what you were a year ago? Has there been an improvement, or hasn't there? And that is how we are to judge our progress, whether we have made progress, by looking back to the past. But when Paul says, in the context of the whole of Philippians 3, what is it in particular that Paul is saying that he is forgetting about what lies behind? Well, we have to go back to verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So here were things that Paul could have boasted about. Paul could have said, look at these things that I have done, these things that I have achieved, these things that demonstrate what a wonderful person I am. But, he says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. It's these things that Paul is saying that he forgets about. He's not relying on himself. He's not trusting in his own activities, in his own actions, his own law keeping. He recognizes that none of these things are of any value, because he can never be good enough. And we read in the latter part of Romans 7 about how Paul came to this realization when he recognized that the 10th commandment was not something that was done outwardly, but it was something that was done inwardly. You shall not covet. Coveting is something internal. And Paul recognized that it was internal. And the moment he recognized that, at that moment he realized that he was coveting all over the place. And he had thought, I keep the law. But then he recognized, no, he didn't. And indeed, those people who say, but I've never done this, I've never done that, I've never done that, I've not broken any of the commandments, which might be true outwardly, but the question is, have you done it inwardly? And this is why Paul turned his back upon righteousness that comes from the law, because he recognized it was not possible. You cannot be righteous by the law, because all that you do is to break the law. And so therefore there is no hope for anyone who looks to the law and living in accordance with the law for salvation. It is not possible. It cannot be done. But Paul also here recognizes that though he has forgotten these things are behind him, he is also recognizing that he has a long way still to go. Brothers, verse 13, I do not consider that I have made it my own. It's not yet his own. What he's seeking for, perfection in Christ, salvation in Christ, ultimate final salvation, the resurrection from the dead, standing before God without guilt on the day of judgment, being received into eternal glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not his yet. But that's what he's looking forward to. That is his goal. That is his aim. That is what he wants to get to. So verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is his aim. That is his goal. That is his desire. He presses on. He's not got there yet. Have you got there yet? I haven't got there yet. And to compare myself to Paul, I think, well, I'm a long way behind Paul. Way, way behind Paul. Paul is not setting himself up as perfect. He's saying he has an example that we should follow. Verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me. Now, what way are we to imitate Paul? We are to imitate Paul in the way he was just spoken about, not considering that we have yet made it our own. Forgetting what lies behind, not trusting in our own godliness, our own righteousness, always recognizing there is always room for improvement, pressing on towards the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. We have a long way to go. Paul said he had a long way to go. How much more do we have a long way to go to reach that goal of perfection in Christ? And it's in Christ alone that we find perfection. It is not to be found anywhere else, only in Christ, because only he is righteous. Only he is perfect in every way. Only he has dealt with sin on our behalf. Here is someone to imitate, someone to follow, their example of pressing on, seeking to be more godly every day, seeking to be able to look back over the previous year and to be able to say, I'm not there yet, but I have made progress. You often hear people talk about, well, I've made 3 steps forward, but 2 steps back. But I have made progress. I'm not there yet, and I'll take longer to get there than I hoped I would. But I am getting there. And it might only be a step at a time because you've gone forward 3 and back 2. But you are going forward. Can we say that of ourselves? Paul does give a warning in verse 18. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul is saying that there are people he knew, people who professed faith possibly through his preaching. They appeared to be walking well and then fell away and have now become enemies of the gospel. And we have a specific named example in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. Paul says about Demas. Demas, who he had previously mentioned at the end of Colossians and at the end of Philemon. He describes him as his fellow worker. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 10, Paul says Demas has left him, being in love with this present world. He loved this world more than he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And how sad it is when you discover people who fall away, having professed faith, having made apparent progress in the gospel, and then they fall away, and it's as if they had never believed at all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always a sadness. But when we read what Jesus said about the parable of the sower, it's what we should expect. There are 4 kinds of soil, but only one of them is the genuine article. And the genuine article is demonstrated by continuing in the faith. He who perseveres to the end will be saved, we are told. So it is those who not merely make a profession of faith, but those who produce fruit and who persevere. Sadly, there are too many who make a profession and then fall away. I've often told you about some statistics that I was given about crusade evangelism. And people think, oh, isn't it wonderful at that crusade meeting or that series of crusade meetings? 400,000 people professed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, but a year later, how many of them are still making that profession? And the answer is, from the statistics we were given, the answer is only 3.5% are still professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet these people were quoted as having believed, but a year later, they didn't. What has happened to them? They fell away. And who knows the reason why? Was it the message they heard which was inadequate? Did they believe in something for the wrong reasons? Were they coming to faith in Christ in order to have their sins forgiven? Or was it for a whole host of other reasons? Perhaps they just felt the emotion of the moment and made a profession. There's all sorts of reasons that we won't go into now. But they made a profession and they fell away. And even someone associated with the Apostle Paul, Demas, fell away. We must be aware that there is always this danger that someone makes a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and then falls away. And the danger also for us is we see someone make a profession and then fall away and we say, well, I believe they're really still a Christian because you really want them to be a Christian. But we have to face up to reality and acknowledge, well, no, they're not. They may have made a profession, but it turned out by their actions, because they have not progressed in the faith, they've demonstrated they were never true believers at all. Which is why Paul is saying we must press on, we must imitate him and make progress in the gospel, forgetting what lies behind, not considering our own righteousness, but looking forward to that upward call in Christ, to be perfect, to be like Christ, to follow Paul in this effort. And sometimes it is hard, it is a trial, it is difficult. But we should seek in every way to follow Paul in showing out our love for Christ and our gratitude to him by the way in which we live. And don't fall into the trap, if you think what I said last week about looking back, but there is the possibility of falling into the trap of wallowing in nostalgia. I'm sure many of us are familiar with Frank Sinatra and perhaps his most famous song, My Way, which has in it the line, "Regrets? I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention." Everybody has regrets about things that happened to them, things that they did, decisions that they made. And how many people wallow in the past and think, if only I had done this, if only I had done that, if only this had happened, if only that had happened. I would quite like to go back to 1974 and not break my finger, because it still causes me problems, not great problems, but it still causes me problems. It would be so nice if I hadn't broken my finger. Could go back 34 years to that evening when I was on my motorbike going home, and there was this woman coming the other way, and she stopped in the middle of the road to turn right, and she waited, and she waited, and she waited, and she waited until I was almost on her, and then she turned and threw me off my motorbike, and I did a lovely somersault, and as I flew through the air I thought, this is it, I'm dead, here I come, Lord. But I survived. But I had injuries that still continue, mainly below my right knee. I've lost half the nerves, and it makes my toes feel so strange when I lie in bed. I can't sleep on my back because the weight of the bedding on my toes is so unpleasant. And so I always have to sleep on my front, which does tend to mean I don't snore. If I lay on my back, I almost certainly will snore. But it's uncomfortable. It doesn't stop me doing many things. But if only I could have gone back and whispered in that woman's ear, "Don't turn yet." But I can't. So why worry about it? Why wallow in it? You think back to wonderful occasions that you have had in the past, and you think, oh, if only I could go back and have that wonderful experience all over again. I think of that occasion at a young people's camp where I preached the gospel, and that evening the Holy Spirit came down and the whole camp was transformed by the gospel. People, instead of chattering about this, that and the other, all they were concerned about was, how can I have my sins forgiven? What must I do to be saved? And it was wonderful. And if only I could see that again and again and again. And sadly it happens in my life all too rarely. If only, if only, if only. But if we go back and wallow all the time, we won't look to the future. We won't look to say, okay, this happened in the past, let's pray it happens again in the future. And let's continue to pray for God's blessing to be poured out upon us, that we might see God at work in our midst. So don't not look back, but don't look back with nostalgia. Don't look back with longing. Look forward. Don't speculate on what your life might have been if things had happened differently, because they didn't. They all happened in the providence of God, and we all know, I'm sure, that verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God's in control. God knows what's happening. God is directing things, even though we may not appreciate it. And so we can trust him. Trust him for all that is past, and trust him for all that's to come. So, beware of nostalgia. We might regret decisions that were made and sins committed, but they are now past. They have happened. We cannot change the past. We can affect what happens in the future, how we live, how we behave, how we relate to others, how most of all we relate to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and get to know him better. So we might have had all sorts of problems, physical, mental, emotional, in the past, but they're past. Let's look forward. How can we make things better now and into the future? How can we make Christ better known? How can we show the world our love for Christ by showing love for one another? We look back only to use problems of the past as warnings for the future, things to avoid. Or perhaps not things that went wrong, but things that went right. And there's an example to follow into the future. So seek to follow Paul. Seek to imitate Paul. Seek to be like Paul in his passion for the gospel, in his passion for Christ, in his passion for looking forward to that great day when Christ returns, raises us all from the dead, and we will be with him forever. Make that your passion and your desire for the future. And at this point, you'll perhaps not be surprised to know that I will urge you to fill your hearts and minds with Scripture. Fill your hearts and minds with the Word of God. I often think back to days before I went to college. So this is ancient history. When I decided one day I was going to read through the whole of the Bible. This is probably 2 years before I was converted. And I sat down with my father's authorized version and I began to read. And I got as far as Genesis chapter 9. And I didn't get any further. When I was converted, I read through the whole of the Bible in the next year and a half. Here is a task that you can set yourself. Read through the whole of the Scriptures in this coming year. Now for some, that's hard going. Don't make it a burden. Do what you are able. If you can only manage one chapter a day, better one chapter a day than no chapters a day. If you can manage 4 chapters a day, then so much the better. You will get through the whole of the Scriptures in a year. And there is a reading plan based on the Evangelical Movement of Wales reading plan that is available to you if you want to make use of it. I think I have shared it previously on WhatsApp. I will try and remember to do that again, so that anybody can have access to it. And if anybody is not on the church WhatsApp group, then just let me know and I'll send you a copy. And we can follow through. That way you read Genesis, then Matthew, then Exodus, and so you work your way through the Scriptures. And eventually, by the end of December, you are reading the last few chapters of Revelation. But some people have different methods to follow. Use whatever you find most useful, most convenient. For some people, they find it difficult to read. They find it difficult to actually sit down and find time to read. Well, if you have a Bible app on your phone or iPad or computer, usually you can set it up so that it will read the Scriptures to you. And that way, You can have the scriptures without having to worry about sitting down. You can be doing all sorts of things. You can be driving in the car and you can be listening to the scriptures. Use whatever is convenient to you. And that will help you to remember all that God has done, that you might look to Christ and look what Christ has done. Instead of looking back and saying, aren't I wonderful, all the wonderful things that I have done. Look back to him. Look to what he has done for us. And consider what he has yet to do. What he has yet to do within your heart in the here and now. What he is to do with you in the future. And what he is to do with you when he returns in glory to judge the world in righteousness. We have a year ahead of us. Who knows what this year will bring? But if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he is with us, and we know that we are going to receive blessing from him. We don't know in what way. And for some of us, it might mean injury, illness, possibly for some even death. But if we are people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, death is merely the entrance into eternal glory. So we can look as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, look to the future and look for God's blessing upon us. And may we press on towards that upward goal in Christ to be like him.